What is up, everyone? It's your boy Shaf, aka That Milk Guy, coming at you with the next episode, the final episode of the year of the Mind Grinders podcast, your podcast focused on the modern player and the modern miller. I'm joined by my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the representation, the representative of the glory that is the southern half of Canada. Introduce yourself.
The meth lab of Canada. Yeah, so it is a Jack, aka Blitz MTG, aka King Crab Sad Boy.
King Crab hashtag Sag.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
we're all sad boys. There's a sad boy in every one of them.
Yo, that seasonal depression lights out at 4 o'clock. How are you feeling? What are you up to?
Not bad. Finishing up finals for school and you know, just kind of existing.
That's fair. I was trying to make some plans and create some plans for the holidays, but like just today, Toronto, Ontario seems like we're getting hit with some Omicron garbage, lots of cases coming up, so might be kind of restricting down, which I have no complaints about because I want to stay in my room. But
damn, Toronto got fucking Transformers blowing up the place.
Pretty much. Yo, the Decepticons in my face, they're in my jeans, they're in my pores. Sheesh. Don't worry, I'm triple boosted up.
Sheesh.
We're ready. Anyway, today for everyone listening to this podcast, we are going to be going over, as the title suggests, a review of Modern in 2021. For those who also follow me on YouTube, I'll be going through more specific, like a more dive down version of a mill specific review, but we're going to be going over some of those points as well as how we're feeling about Modern in general, the best format in Magic the Gathering outside of Pauper, EDH, Tiny Leaders. Let's get right into it.
I am so surprised you didn't say alchemy for the algorithms.
Okay. Alchemy. Jeff Bezos, crypto. 2022.
Elon Musk, Space Force.
What else? Google.
TikToks.
Ads, money. RTX 3090 Ti 2060 release.
FTX sponsorship.
No, do you listen to Constructor Resource? Stop.
Oh, no, I was going to say TSM, but like, fuck TSM.
Yo, stop.
For any of you esports fans out of there, fuck TSM.
Spence and FTX. Yo. Okay, don't worry.
When do we start getting to the point that, like, you know, we're already starting to get, like, Magic the Gathering cards and, like, secret layers and promotional products that are, like, you know, other IPs. Yeah. When do we start just, like, straight up getting, like, sponsored cards? Like,
oh, okay.
You know, let me get my FTX Hedron Walker, and it's going to attack the Primeval Titan sponsored by Google. Yeah.
The third Primeval Titan out of 30, because soon enough we're gonna start getting Magic the Gathering NFTs. Okay.
No.
It's gonna happen.
Hey, trying to avoid that one.
I'm getting some bots. I'm getting some garbage ass bots, sus clowns commenting on my YouTube videos. You know, free cloud. I'm not gonna delete your comment. You're just helping the algorithm, so thank you. Asking me to review these card games that are actually like NFTs. Every card's an NFT. I'm like,
wait, that's a thing?
That's a thing.
Jesus.
I'm not reviewing that, but like, thank you for the comment.
Somehow still better than Artifact.
Dota, no.
I don't know why Artifact and Valve had to take like a stray shot there, but just like,
no, just that game deserved to get shot on.
What came off the top of my head?
That was Gaben messed up, man. Gaben messed up. All right, so let's hop right into it. What is your Jack, give me your general thoughts on the Modern format in 2021.
It has been wild. I think this is like the absolute highest volatility that we've had in Modern, probably to date. I can't think of like maybe in like the very early days of Modern there was like a bunch of fluctuation. That was long before my time, but like since I've been playing Modern the past 3 years, maybe.
Right.
This is just like it has been a roller coaster with how many new cards are introduced, how often the meta changes. It's been an absolute wild year.
Yeah, no, it's been super crazy. I think, like, would you gander to give a rating out of 10? Do you feel like you could, or you need a bit of a discussion? You think you'd give a tip-top rating?
No, because there's been so many quote metas in Modern, and like, yeah, I like them to varying degrees.
Okay.
So it'd be hard for me to put like 2021, you know, insert rating here. I think that'd be very difficult for me.
Right. Okay. So let's go through some discussions. I think me personally, I like me some turmoil. I personally never understood the concept of buying a Modern deck and keeping it forever. I like a little bit of flux, but maybe that's a little too sticky for those that can't afford us rich people formats. $3,000 control decks. But how about we hop into Kaldheim, the first set released for 2021 in Magic the Gathering. So we're really, for those listening, going to be talking about formats that have primarily affected Modern. Like, we're not going to be going over the Historic Anthology that came out this year. We might kind of mention it like this, like right here. That's it. But
I don't play Arena, so Chef can mention it.
So January 28, 2021, we got the release of Kaldheim, Vikings, Kaya. What are we thinking here?
Wasn't this set kind of a flop for Modern?
In a sense, yeah. Like, this was a massive... Okay, so I'll tell you what. There's one card that, like, fundamentally changed Modern. It's been massive for Standard. I just want to go over, like, kind of Goldspan Dragon, Alrin's Epiphany, cards that are, like, literally dominating, like, rotating formats for the last little bit. We got the Pathways, which is pretty big.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about for Modern.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's two cards in the set that did that.
I mean, hey... I gotta be telling the truth for the God of Lies himself, Valky.
Oh my god! I wouldn't say Valky is what did it. Tybalt's Trickery.
You think Tybalt? Okay, well, okay,
but that's because that's what enabled it. Like, when Tybalt's Trickery got banned in Modern, like, Valky still showed up in like the 4 and 5 color piles, but it wasn't like egregious because they had to use Brain Delight.
But I thought like Valky was the reason they changed. Like, I swear Valky was the reason they changed Cascade.
Well, yes. So
that's what I mean by fundamentally changing. Like, they actually made an errata to a rule. I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Fair enough. In that aspect, like, I agree with you. But like, Tybalt's Trickery is like,
sure,
really what like put the gas to the flame.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, being banned in Arena too. Like, if a lot of people have forgotten about this card, but you're right. Like, Tybalt's Trickery was massive. Like, they did it with they added counter magic to white. You know, they gave him mana tide, didn't break. They gave counter magic to red? Nah. That was too far.
It's just what came with the counter magic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. They try to like balance it, and it's like, nah. That's not how that works. Yeah. But so that was Kaldheim. I mean, how are you feeling about it? Like it was good for Modern. Like, we needed that errata,
No. So the set itself was bad for Modern just because of like Tybalt's Trickery and Valky was like. That Modern was egregious to play for, like, the few weeks that it was legal. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was one deck or one card in three decks. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, but, yeah. And, I mean, you see, like, bits and pieces here and there. Like, sometimes you'll see Bergy in some, like, jinky Storm deck. Like, you'll see bits and pieces here and there. But, like, generally the set didn't touch Modern except for that we've already talked about. Like, this set was very good for Standard, Pioneer, Arena formats
massive.
And like, I was slightly disappointed, just like in a general sense, like some of the flavor was there, but like it didn't quite do it for me. Like, this felt like the direction they took with, like, there's like each two color pair is a different world within the world tree.
Yeah, that was really failed. Like, there was 10 friggin' worlds. You did Ravnica in two sets. Like, come on.
So the reason it failed, like, I don't think the idea is bad. Like the idea is really cool to kind of, you know, for a while, two color pairs have very just been, like, Ravnica defining them. And this, like, took the color pairs in, like, you know, somewhat a different direction in some cases. and like associate them with the tribes, et cetera, et cetera. But like, you need to do that over two or three sets in a block.
Yeah, this was one of those.
They
could
really flesh out like what those worlds are about, and like to really like solidify strategies for standard.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, okay, we have 10 worlds for each color pair in one set, plus we have a bunch of other stuff that we want to jam in there. Like, it felt very disjointed.
Yep, yep. And there's a lot of things that were played safe, if you think about it, from, like the snow mechanic returning. Like, we got reprints of Snowlands. Was that really push? No, it was, like, it was really just showing,
The snow duels are really cool. Like, the arts on all of them are really sick. I just, wish they were playable.
Like, it is really safe. Yeah, exactly, 100%. Yeah. They're all really, really safe. I think they were, like, fetchable, too, right? Am I wrong in that? Yeah, they are fetchable. Fetchable. Yeah, they're so fetchable. It was just that they came in tapped.
I wish
there
was something like these come in tapped unless you control, like, three or four other snowlands.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah, so, like kind of, so what if we say if you control, when it enters the battlefield, if you control three or more snowlands, it comes in untapped.
I would say other snowlands.
You want other? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to like push it and like, yeah, okay. That's a fair way to keep it safe. Yeah, but yeah. So, I mean, that's Kaldheim. There's a lot of things that it did, but it was really just like kind of two key players. And I think like the set in general was like, in that sense, for constructed formats and what Wizards really test for, it was successful. Everything else was like it had a cool cycle of lands. Pathway lands are really cool, especially for Pioneer. That was very game changing for them. But yeah, what do you think? Out of 10, Kaldheim?
For modern or like overall?
Give me either one. Honestly, give me either one. Go for it.
For modern, this was like a 1. this was like a 1 for modern. Overall, I think this is like a 7.
Okay, I'm gonna give modern a little bit higher. I'm gonna give it a 5, but I like 7. I think I'm almost at the same like
very high.
I think I'm almost at the same sentiment. I may not feel it as harshly, but I'm at the same sentiment.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a 2 because
yeah.
Other than the egregious thing, it didn't touch modern. Maybe 1 is a little too. I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna give it a 2.
Okay. So the next set, just kind of an in between before we head back into the world of Harry Potter, the magical world that is the all-loving and accepting adaptation of J.K. Rowling. I mean, hey, apparently the internet loves J.K. Rowling. Her opinions are so accepting. Goddamn. I'll bring up my own problems with that goddamn stupid author, like ruining my damn life and my IPs. Time Spiral Remastered.
This is like a nothing set.
A lot of people were a big fan of it just because of a reprints, right?
Oh, sure.
Reprint equity was massive in this set. Sure. There was a lot of cool artwork. People were really fan of that. I mean, I really like some of the lands. Like I really like the Field of Ruin.
Okay. Okay. But what I mean by this is a nothing set is like, yes, it brought a bunch of reprints. Put a lot of cards into old borders. I get that in a sense. And it's also like, I've heard it's like a decent draft set.
Yeah.
But like, my point is like, there is nothing new in here. It doesn't change. It doesn't change anything. So I don't feel like it's like worth really mentioning. It's like, cool. Mm-hmm. You wanted old border stuff, reprints, yada, yada. Cool. Overall, that's like an okay thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, look, Thoughtseize foils from the set and Ponder foils are still $300. So open up your packs. Open up your packs, peeps. Okay, so we're in a world where we accept everyone of all genders, Strixhaven, School of Mages.
Unless you're that filthy silver quill dean's son, like, your dad hates you, fuck you.
Yeah, it's just generic stereotypes. Yes. What are we thinking of Strixhaven? School of Mages. What are we thinking? Released, again, April 15, 2021, couple months in. Kind of, we're entering kind of mid-year. This is the kind of section of the year where it really felt like 4 or 5 sets almost just released together. So it was a bit of a haze. You really got to think into it.
I just want to point out that other than Mystical Archives,
yeah,
the most expensive card in Strixhaven, I bet you can't guess. For non-foils. What's the most expensive card
in this game? I mean, okay, so I'm cheating because I actually have the MTG stock in front of me.
Okay.
Everyone in this video, No, I'll tell you what. This podcast is going up on YouTube right now. No. I want everyone just for the free YouTube clout, okay? The free YouTube clout. Sure. Comment down below. Stop this video and comment down below. If you get it right, you're lying. You're lying. You went on MTG stocks and you looked it up. Give me an actual guess.
I'm on Scryfall, to be fair.
Okay. Well, look, you looked it up. I want to hear it right now in the comment section down below if you're here. But go for it. Go for it.
So the borderless Bellatrix Witherbloom at $13 US.
Friggin' like a 7-mana Golgari Elder Dragon, like what the EDH? Like
It's rough. Anyways,
there's some cool this set though. This set had some cards. Come on. Yo, Prismari Command, Expressive Iteration, the most busted sorcery in the modern format, arguably. Like,
yeah. No, it has it definitely has like the Izzet cards in this set are like pretty good.
Elite
like,
Spellbinder just got a shout out cuz you know the world.
Sedgemoor Witch is a card that I think is really cool.
Yes.
Let's see. There was a time where we were testing Vanishing Verse and Fracture.
Yep. Two solid cards. Yeah.
Fuck the Snarls.
The Snarls. Okay, what were those? What do those lands do? I know what you're talking about.
So they're the enemy versions of the Tango lands from Shadows of Innistrad. Okay.
Reveal
like Frostboil Snarl. Reveal an island or a mountain from your hand. It comes in untapped. If you don't, enters tapped.
Yeah.
Fuck these things.
Yeah. No.
Velimachus Lorehold. Like for the Velimachus Turns deck, that was a deck I really enjoyed, along with a good friend of mine, Mana Symbol, fellow Torontoan to you.
Yeah.
I actually want to meet
the guy. He sounds like a fun guy.
No, definitely. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. If you're Tybalt, Baleful Mastery, but I don't think that card is good. Yeah.
If you're a Mill, shout out to Test of Talents.
Witherbloom Command for.
Got a shout out to Mortal for Witherbloom Command. Yeah, Witherbloom Command is so close though. Think about it. Yo, if Witherbloom Command, if the option of the -1 was actually instead of -3/-1, if it was -2/-2, would you not play this card? -2/-2. I honestly believe that's the only thing stopping this card. It's not like it's just I think it's actually still worse than Collective Brutality. I actually think this card is worse than Collective Brutality.
Yes.
And it's close. So. If it was -2/-2, this card would actually be playable. That's my thing.
Yeah,
with this card.
If you're playing like Historic or Pioneer, or whatever, like Magma Opus was a card.
Yes. Magma Opus
Test of Talents.
I just brought that up. Did you not hear me?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, okay. No, because I said Test of Talents, you brought up Witherbloom Command. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I legit didn't hear you.
Okay, yeah. Test of Talents, 100%. Shout out to Surgical Extraction on a Spell Pierce or whatever.
Yeah, it's
you
more like
it.
Invasive Surgery. Yeah. It's like Dispel meets Invasive Surgery.
Yes. Actually, that's a pretty good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not exact, but it's close.
Yeah.
Strict Proctor, like. In like taxes strict. Shells is like kind of cool.
Strict Proctor.
So one in a white 1/3 flyer. Whenever a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability to trigger, counter that ability unless its controller pays 2. Oh. I had it. I was at a paper 5K this weekend. I was playing against a guy playing green white taxes. Super cool guy. His deck looked sweet. He's one of those like he's like this is my deck. Like he had, foil Japanese Future Sight Aven Mind Sensors.
Oh my god.
Okay. Like this thing was blinged out. And he played a bunch of Strict Proctors in the sideboard, and he played them versus me because my crab triggers each cost 2 mana.
Oh, I don't know. It's these decks that people come up with, man. Like, I don't... Like...
I just thought I thought it was cool. I mean, he didn't win, but it was like... Yeah. Oh
my god!
Like... Thrilling discovery brought back Dredge for a bit.
Yes. I mean, yeah. It still doesn't have like a one mana enabler, which is the problem.
Go blank, cease playing Pioneer and Standard.
Yep. I mean, I think like in general for like this set in general,
there's some decent stuff in here, and we're not even mentioning Mystical Archives. That Mystical Archives was such a hit.
It's why.
Oh, sorry. Before we go into Mystical Archives, Witherbloom Apprentice because of the combo and Legacy with Chain of Fog.
Witherbloom.
Witherbloom Apprentice is black and a green for a 2/2 human druid. Magecraft, whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. And then you combine it with Chain of Smog, so you just infinitely drain them.
Oh, wasn't this also... No, okay, I actually know this combo with the... With the, No. Isn't there, like, a combo with, like, the Liliana? With Chain of Smog?
Maybe, but Liliana's, like, a bunch more mana than Shaman.
You're right. Actually, because I heard of this... Wait, let me read this. Target player... Okay, Chain of Smog is black and one. Target player discards two cards from his or her hand. That player may copy this spell. Discards two cards. That player may copy it for... Okay. Why does this combo with Liliana, Professor Onyx... What? I don't know. Okay, but I know what you mean. This is a sick combo.
Yeah, because whenever you cast or copy an instant spell, each opponent loses two life. It's basically a souped-up version of Witherbloom Apprentice, but two mana is a lot easier to cast in Legacy than six.
Yeah. That one was mostly for EDH. I think that was the original reason.
Chain of Smog went from like a bulk card to like $20.
Yeah. It just turned into like the goblin. What's that one that spiked when hollowed one was a thing? The two goblin mana. Lore. Pardon?
Goblin lore.
Yeah, it spiked from like a 40-cent card to like $10, $30 each or some garbage. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So Strixhaven, give me a rating for mill. What do you think about this set?
For mill.
Yeah.
So
thinking about the fact of like the decks that got powered up against it, the cards it might have gained, stuff like that.
I would say a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, I think like 4 or 5. I think more decks got powered up than Mill got powered up. But Mill got something.
Sure. But like it made Dredge better, which is like a matchup Mill doesn't mind playing. It's created some cool archetypes.
I should also shout out Baleful Mastery before someone catches us on this. But go on.
No, we said Baleful Mastery.
Oh, did we?
And I also said it was a bad card. So what detracts this from this set for me is like Expressive Iteration. I think this card is like too good, like not bannable too good.
I mean, that's like, the thing, right? That's the thing with Ragavan and Prismatic Ending.
I'm just very sick of like, you know how like everyone when Force of Negation was printed, they're like, blue got too much, blah, blah. Well, it's like this year red got way too much. And why do all the good spells have to be in blue red? I get it. It's the spell slinger colors, but like, holy fuck, spread it around. Spread the good cards around.
Like, And that's the thing, like, you've nailed it, right? Like, it's like, okay, yo, this card isn't bannable, but that's the thing. It does something so, like, it does something so fair so well.
It's two mana legal ponder.
Like, oh, it really is. But it's, like, better, like, somehow. Like, okay, like, you would still play ponder over this, but, like, yo, like... Oh my god, this is so close. It does so much. Like, if you can really maximize this, it does so much. Holy. I don't know. Expressive Iteration? I've seen way too many people sleep on this card even now. Like, you just gotta play against it. Just cast it. Just play against it. And, like, you'll understand the minute it resolves, you're probably, like, losing. Like, if you're even on board and someone resolves Expressive Iteration, you're losing. Mm-hmm. That's not even, like... taking you down. So for modern, it definitely powered it up. When it came out, maybe it was a 6. Right now, it's at an 8, 9 for me. Like, Expressive Iteration carries this like whole set for me. Expressive Iteration is massive. Sure. Prismari Command is something too.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, that's Strixhaven School of Mages. Okay, and then this is where, you know, again, the muddle of a couple of sets kind of coming out at the same time. We're going to wait on the big one here. I actually want to leave the big one to last. And I think I know what you... I actually want to leave that one to last, because that one's massive.
All right, so we're going to... my favorite set flavor-wise.
Adventures in the goddamn known realms. We ain't forgetting about these realms today. What'd you think?
So I love this set for flavor. I'm a big D&D fan.
Mm-hmm.
Love this flavor of the set. Not too many good cards in the set. Like, there are a few.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this also has kind of a Strixhaven thing of, like, the most expensive card in the set is just, like, some, like, EDH nobody in, like, any other format.
Yes. Fucking old Gnawbone.
old Gnawbone, then Tiamat, Lolth, Asarak, like...
I mean, Asarak in the mine. I mean, hey, Legacy staple. Like, this is a one-card combo with Alorin. This was massive.
Fair enough.
For Legacy,
fair
actually. Enough. This was massive.
Like, I mean, so, like, a few cards to note that, like, are actually, like, constructed playable. So, like, Demi-Lich is, like, you know, the tier 2 or tier 3 Phoenix deck.
Yeah, yeah. This was the second payoff, yeah.
Yeah, Den of the Bugbear.
Like, yeah,
I'm not going to say all of these lands, but this one and Hall of Storm Giants are, like, the big two.
Yeah, Den of Bugbear, I mean, definitely being championed by Spike as of recently, so, yeah.
Let's see, Tasha's Hideous Laughter needs no introduction on this podcast.
Treasure Vault is going to be another one, actually, for Affinity.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing.
Portable Hole.
Best one-drop removal. Do you do that pill? Pole?
No.
Portable Hole, definitely.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Deadly Dispute's, like, a little underplayed.
Deadly
in some in some formats, like, not maybe not modern. One in a black instant, additional cost, sack an artifact or a creature, draw two cards and create a treasure.
Wait, what? Isn't this a friggin' Pauper staple?
I don't know. I don't play Pauper. I don't pay attention to Pauper.
Okay, yo, for someone listen to this podcast right now, as someone who has 70% of Pauper Affinity foiled out, who hasn't played Pauper in over a year and a half, but absolutely loves the crap out of Pauper Affinity. Yeah. This is a common. Holy, yeah, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Draw two cards, create a treasure, sack your own land. Okay, anyway, go on. I'm sorry. That card is crazy.
Prosperous Innkeeper sees standard and Pioneer play. Card's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I know Ingenious Smith for Hammer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's a Spike and Mana Symbol and a few others playing some Oswald Fiddlebender decks.
Yes. A couple other ones I want to shout out, like, randomly, like Zorn. Anything playing treasures is playing Zorn. Mm-hmm. And then the
Wish for the Storm decks.
100%. Oh, yeah. No, wait. Actually, I didn't even remember that one. Wish for sure. The Tarrasque being one of the worst Magic cards ever designed in human history. Oh my god,
they did the Tarrasque so dirty.
For those of you, like, who don't have context, like, the Tarrasque is, like, this creature in D&D. And I'm, like, gonna do it a disservice. But, like, you're not really even supposed to fight it. Like, it is so unkillable, mythical, powerful. Like, it is the Tarrasque. Like, just look it up. The Tarrasque in D&D is the epitome. It sits above all creatures, bosses, demons, anything. Because you're not even supposed to fight this thing, really. Like, it is impossible. Like, you probably, like, you know, again, for those of you who play the D&D, you're probably using the most powerful spell in the game, Wish, stuff like that, like game-breaking, fourth-wall-breaking stuff to try and deal with something like this. And it's a, like, what did they, like, it has haste and ward 10 as long as it was cast. Okay, whatever. What? This card is so bad.
Yeah.
This card is so bad. This card is so bad.
Anywho. I think I'm going to do a modern rating here, and I'm going to give this set a 3.5 to a 4.
For modern? Okay.
For modern. So, because Tasha's and Ingenious Smith are probably the two most notable for modern, followed by, like, Hall of Storm Giants, Den of Bugbear. Like, it just, like, it made Hammer better, and it gave Mill a way to deal with aggro decks.
I'm actually going to give this set an 8 because of how hard this set actually carried Mill. This set is the reason Mill is so high right now. This set.
I wouldn't say high right now, but definitely high.
Like in this singular moment, but Mill is playable because of Tasha's, and that's like
partially yes. Yeah.
That's meta defining, right? Like that's sure. I'm trying not to be biased here, but like an archetype that truly is different from anything being played. Like it brought that back up to something to be feared. Tasha's is the only reason Mill can win certain matchups, and it's kind of crazy. So I'm going to give it an 8 just for that. It's kind of like the similar feeling I have to what's that sorcery we were just talking about?
Expressive Iteration.
It's kind of like it's that one card literally carrying the whole set because of the effect that it's had.
Okay.
Because of the effect that it's had. But I understand what you mean. So it's going to be similar for Mill. But I actually think my favorite card of the set, Acerak. I think a card that is a one card combo, again, just, you know, for my legacy peeps out there with the Lurin, but kind of forcing the dungeon mechanic, one of the strangest mechanics to ever be made.
I'm so sad that the dungeon mechanic didn't take off. Like, I thought the mechanic was like really cool in concept, yeah, and just like, but, like, none of the dungeon carts are good.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, right?
They don't even see standard play.
No.
Like, yeah. They don't see, like anything.
The enablers are so bad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the enablers are so bad.
Like, I think the mechanic could have gone somewhere, but, like, it just was not enough.
There's too many hoops to jump through. And also, for plebeians like me, there's no foil dungeon, so what's the damn point? Anyway. Innistrad, Midnight Hunt. I told you we're skipping the good one and leaving it to last. Innistrad, okay. Midnight Hunt, July 23rd release.
Was it really July? No.
Yeah. No, previews began 29th, July 23rd release. Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow. What? Sorry,
no,
I
wasn't. No.
Midnight Hunt was September 17th.
September 24th was the release date in paper.
That was Crimson Vow.
That was it? Midnight Hunt.
Midnight Hunt. Sorry, November 19th was Crimson Vow. Sorry. Okay, I'm getting this out of order. Yeah. Okay. So September. Yeah. September. Yes, mid September. Yes. Innistrad Midnight Hunt. Go.
Thank you.
There are now seven. There is now seven Wrens. Or there are now seven Wrens.
That's not how.
I know.
Yes.
There are seven bodies. There are seven hosts for Wren.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're on the seventh. Seven don't exist. We're just on the seventh.
Yeah.
Like, I love Innistrad sets for their flavor. I think they're really cool. For modern, like, I mean, there's a few cards. Like, I think Consider is, like, the big one for modern.
Yeah, Consider and Memory Deluge, I think, are the only ones.
Yeah, but Memory Deluge is played in, like, some control decks, while Consider is played in, like, all of the Murktide decks. Like, anything that used to play Thought Scour just plays Consider now.
Yeah. Faithful Absence, I guess, could be brought up, maybe. But, yeah, Consider is probably the... Faithful Mending! Faithful Mending was, almost archetype-defining. Yep, so, yep.
Faithful Mending was pretty important. I'm just scrolling through to see if there's anything...
What about Swamp 272? No, I'm joking. I'm completely joking.
I mean, not modern playable, but like, shout out to Florian, Voldair, and Scion. This card is so much fun to play with, in general.
Let me see it. Florian.
Florian, Voldair, and Scion. One red, black for 3/3, legendary vampire noble. First strike. Beginning of your post-combat main phase, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the total amount of life your opponents lost this turn. Exile one of those cards and put the rest of the bottom of your library, random order. You may play that exiled card this turn.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like I'm so into... So eventually down the road when your boy has enough money and time and yada yada, and he finally gets around to building a cube.
Yeah.
I want my red-black mechanic to be, or like my red-black archetype to be spells from Exile. So like Florian, Prosper, Layla, you know, light up the stage, that kind of thing.
Right.
Ragavan, you know. I think that's so sweet, and it's so outside of like what red black normally does in a lot of cubes.
Right. Yeah, no, it's very cool. This is a very cool like aggro enabler. Right? Like it gives you something. Yeah. It's not just like dump everything out and then yeah, just go to town. The Rakdos thing, right? Like it's like, okay, yeah, let's play it slow. Let's go in and see if we can build back, create a mid game. No, it's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. I think that card is sweet. Curse of Silence didn't quite make it in most formats.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought like if Storm ever comes back, Curse of Shaken Faith, I hope to see in some sideboards.
Oh my god. Yeah. Do you want to read that for listeners?
Sure. One in a red enchantment aura curse. Enchant player. Whenever enchanted player casts a spell other than the first spell they cast each turn, or copies a spell, Curse of Shaken Faith deals 2 damage to them. Yeah. So this was like in standard, if Magecraft got too good, this was like the counter. This was the floodgate. But just like anything with Storm, you just put this on them, and it's like, okay, cool.
Grixis Mill.
Is this just like not insane in like vintage? Like shouldn't people play this like into, because there's a bunch of decks in vintage that have Brain Freeze.
I mean, okay, you're not
like
wrong.
Breach decks and whatnot. Like those exist in Legacy and Vintage.
Yeah. I mean, yo, I'm not gonna act like I even know half of what's going on in Vintage. I just kind of look at it. And I'm like, ooh, pretty lights. Like, have you ever seen like vintage?
Yes, I've seen your Legacy stream, so yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, pretty lights. Wow, this is so fun. Like a deck. Have you ever seen a deck playing Bazaar of Baghdad go off? Like, there's so much shit happening on the screen. Like, it's so wild. Like,
man, print Court of Cunning and Brain Freeze into Modern, you cowards.
Court of Cunning would actually be kind of wild. Like, well, not even for mill. Yes.
They'd have to, like, make it, like, because you can't bring the Monarch mechanic into Modern, I don't think.
That's so, not like, legal in Modern, eh? I didn't think about that. Yeah. No.
So you'd have to, like, reprint, like, a functional, like, reprint of it.
Yeah.
But, like, so do that. Minor shout out. This doesn't affect literally any format, but my favorite card from the set, besides Florian, is Flesh Taker.
Flesh Taker, read it.
And I mentioned this on the episode that we did Midnight Hunt. So
right, this art, right.
Yes, it's the artwork. But yes, it's white and black for 2/2 human assassin. Whenever you sacrifice another creature, you gain a life and scry one. One generic mana, sacrifice another creature. Flesh Taker gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Just the artwork.
You didn't want to read the rules text for scry, or like you didn't.
No, in case anyone.
No. I don't know.
I'll read the flavor text. Flavor text: a soulless husk of endless hunger. Literally should be my Twitter and Tinder bio. Because like that fits so well. But like, no, it is so ingrained in my brain. Carmen Handy's tweet of this card saying, "Mom said it's my turn on the Xbox." It's just so ingrained in my brain. It is so funny to me.
Yeah. Eternal tweets.
Yeah, Eternal tweets. Every time I look at this card, I just think of that and I giggle.
Yeah.
It's great. If, you know, Carmen Handy doesn't listen to this podcast, but like, if someone listening to this podcast, like, knows Carmen personally, like, shout out to her.
Shout out. So what do you think about Innistrad Midnight Hunt, first from Mill and then from Modern?
I mean, for Mill, like it didn't, like, if you're playing White Mill, like, you got Fateful Absence, that's something. Infernal Grasp never took off like we thought it might.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, for Mill it didn't really, like, do anything, so, like...
Yeah. I mean, like, this and I think like the next set. Well, okay, yeah. I shouldn't really say the next set, but yeah, this set was really just kind of medium, and I think that's what people wanted. They're like, okay, this is low power. This is what I want out of a standard set to not like it boosts modern, not rotates it. So what do you think about it for modern in general? Just give me a 10.
I mean,
out of a 10, sorry. Not don't give me a 10. The holy
three.
Shit.
Okay. Three. Yeah. Like
three's probably good.
Like, yeah. Like I really like Faithful Mending. Like that's a really cool card. And like there's like a few cool cards in the set, but it's not like anything egregious or anything.
I actually want to give it like a 5/4 Faithful Mending. Like I really like sets that like can create archetypes.
Sure.
So I want to give extra mention to the fact that like we can have something like Faithful Mending. Again, that is creating archetypes, literally, right? Like the reanimator archetype, you know, kind of made off that. So that's nice. A little bit of life gain on reanimation. The second last set that we want to talk about today, Innistrad Crimson Vow, released kind of just last month, actually, probably a month from now at this point. Yeah, almost a month from now, November 19th or whatever. How are you feeling about this set? It actually had, I think, some very like late form effects, some kind of late effects.
There are just some like really like late game bombs, and then like nothing else. Like literally the two cards that are notable in constructed formats are Cultivator Colossus for Amulet Titan, and Hullbreaker Horror for. In modern, it does see some play in like the Reclamation Nexus of Fate decks.
Yeah,
but like this thing ruined standard.
Yeah, this card is.
If anyone's watched like an Is It or Is It X mirror in standard and historic, holy shit!
Yeah, this is called a mirror breaker. This like back in the day. This is what you call a mirror breaker. This is a fatty.
Yeah,
you just put down with flash. You untap, you win.
And your opponent just like doesn't get to resolve another spell for the rest of the game.
Yeah, this is what you call a mirror breaker.
Otherwise, like, okay, I have to pitch the Arilax red black vampires deck for modern that I did play at a paper event.
Okay.
So but I played a budget version because I couldn't get the Ragavans. So it was distinctly worse. But it was based around, so you have Voldaren Epicure, which is like Red Thraben Inspector.
Right.
You have Bloodghasts. You have Silver Smoke Ghouls. You have the 3-mana Sorin from one of the core sets that like...
Oh, the one that where you minus and you bring in a vamp?
Yes.
Yes,
that one. And Anya, Maid of Dishonor.
Yeah.
And you are just this really cool like mid-range, like aggro mid-rangey deck that... like your ideal thing is like you've but you also played you played the Asmo Cookbook Saga package.
So
you can do the food like thing, but you also just get to use Sorin to put out Anya and have it be like this bulky body that drains people, but you also have a loop with Silver Smoke Ghoul and Bloodghast and Sorin.
Oh my god, just, right. Yeah.
Where you attack with them, and then you use Sorin, one of Sorin's plus abilities, to sack it to Lightning Helix anything.
Oh god.
And then Silver Smoke Ghoul comes back just by gaining 3 or more life during your turn.
Yep.
And Bloodghast, you know, everyone knows you just have to play a land. And this thing is so fun. I don't think it's like... super competitively viable. Like, maybe I just need to test it, like, again, with Ari's changes and the Ragavans, yada yada. But, like, this thing, like, as a mill player, I'm like, I, like, never beat Boggles. This thing shits on Boggles.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that you're gonna play against Boggles very often. I just happen to be playing, like, a 24-person 1K and 2 players brought Boggles.
Yeah.
You know, so, and just like, yeah, it was super good against that. It's very good against like the low to the ground Lurrus aggro decks. The only thing is just like it's pretty bad into control.
Okay. Like it's kind of that style of aggro where it's more mid rangey, where like you are trying to one for one, which can be a little tough, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Because you always trade favorably. In your one for ones, because a lot of your stuff comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the deck, like, it needs more cards. It needs more good cards that involve blood tokens. Like, Voldaren, Epicure, and Anya aren't enough.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, nothing else that, like, is really, like, remotely playable. Like, but the fact that we're going to be going to Kamigawa, like, we're never going to get blood tokens back. And if we do, it's going to be a long time. So, like, I feel like the deck is so close to being a tier 2 strategy. It's so close.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting token, right? Like, let's talk about blood tokens for, like a couple seconds here. Like, it's like a weird value version of like a clue in right. some aspect, right? Like,
yeah.
So blood tokens, again, for those who aren't aware, again, a token artifact type is blood. You pay one, tap it, discard a card, and sacrifice the artifact. So you're doing a lot. You're paying one mana, you're tap sacking, and you're discarding a card. Okay, a lot of resources to draw a card. But again, you're enabling things like, again, you're drawing a card, you're discarding a card. It's a discard outlet for one, and it's a token that you just keep. There's a lot of cool parts to it. It's an insolent neonate, right?
Yeah.
It's an insolent neonate on a token. So it's cool in that aspect.
Yeah.
I actually thought this deck was like, this token, there would have been an enabler for Dredge, actually. I was actually wondering this whole time.
Maybe
there was an enabler for it. Never
ended. And another shout out to Mortal, because Splendid Reclamation got a reprint in this set.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, so anyways. Also,
Chandra Dress to Kill. I'll give a quick shout out to that. People tried it. I think Doom was big on this. I do see it
once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do see it once in a while in things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the Transylvania Sorin artist thing is like way too expensive.
Daddy! Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. That one. That Sorin. Specifically that Sorin art, but yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Also, why the fuck is Necro Duality $20?
Idiot players! Yeah. Enter the chat.
Wait, this Olivia's like, what?
EDH players, enter the chat again.
I didn't know Olivia was this much. Holy shit.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. People love their garbage, whatever. Man. Like, I don't know. Yeah. EDH players are a different breed. Like, sure. I don't know. Like, EDH players are the type of people to play, like, literally Flying Cat Tribal and then be like, why am I losing every game? Like, shut your mouth. Like, goddamn. All right. Mill rating, modern rating. Hit me with it.
Mill rating, I mean, there's like nothing in here for mill, like, yes, we didn't get anything, like, yeah. So it's like,
and I'm fine with two. It I'm lit.
It's a two. Yeah. I'll reserve one for things that like actually ruin mill.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, okay, so if on that basis I agree too.
Modern itself, I mean, like, four.
Yo, Swamp 402 kind of hit different. No, I'm joking. Like, yo, come on. We haven't even talked about friggin' Cleave.
Shut the fuck up. No one gives a fuck about, like, the worst version of Kicker I've ever seen.
Yo, I was waiting for it. I actually thought you were gonna bring it up. I was trying to hold it to the very last minute.
It's so weirdly templated. It's so forgettable not gonna bring it up.
It's so weird. It's like the intern they hired for it was like a fucking coder. No. Like, he's like, yo, let me bring Python script into this.
No. Cleave is formatted like people that like Oxford commas, but they also hate themselves.
Oh, yeah. Sadly.
Like, I'm someone who loves, like, and actively uses Oxford commas, but, like, I don't hate myself and everyone around me that much.
Yo. Okay. Well, that's Innistrad Crimson Vow. I want to finally get into the good stuff, Jack.
Good is relative.
The good stuff, Jack. That's what I said. The good stuff. Modern Horizons number 2. The sequel. The sequel.
Electric Boogaloo.
The follow-up to the craziest set to ever touch Modern in history. The sequel. What did this set do to this format, Blitz? What did this set do? Nothing, right? Nothing. Modern is literally gone back in time. We're playing Infect Bogle's Tron, right?
Here's my hot take. Well, maybe it's not a hot take to some people.
Simmer me, baby. My coffee's cold. Hit me with it.
All right. Modern Horizons 2 ruined Modern. And I was not of this opinion until fairly recently.
Yeah.
But, like, playing enough of Modern, it's... I am so sick of seeing, like, the same 5 or 6 cards. People want to talk about, like, they're sick of seeing Lurrus and Yorion companions. Like, I'm sick of everything, you know, being Solitude and Endurance and Furied. You know? I don't even, like, I think Ragavan's strong. I don't even mind seeing Ragavan that much. Like, because you can kill it. Like, I'm sick of seeing all these free spells. I don't, like, Urza's Saga's Fight. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in this file, but I'm just, like, very sick of seeing certain cards all of the time. And, you know, if people wanted to complain about Force of Negation, like, you should be complaining about these free spells. Except Subtlety, because, like, who the fuck plays Subtlety?
Let me put it plainly for everyone here. Because you're right. Ragavan, Urza's Saga... Prismatic Ending, because I believe that's in this set, right? Just correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
Very Archon strong. Of Cruelty, Murktide Regent, Esper fucking Sentinel. There's so many cards in this goddamn set.
Ignoble Hierarch, Cauldra Complete,
Douthi Voidwalker,
Griss the Hunger Tide,
Turok, Yavimaya, surprisingly. Turok.
Yavimaya, Cradle of Growth, Grief.
Unmarked Grave.
Yep, Persist.
Like, Dragon's Rage Channeler.
Yep, that's a Sanctifier on Vec.
Persist, Dress Down, Thought Monitor.
Sarah's Emissary, Counterspell.
Counter freaking spell!
Yeah, Scion of Draco saw some, and Territorial Kavu saw a little play towards the beginning of the set.
Yep.
Doesn't see much play now.
People just realize you can thing. Display. Yep.
With, like, Sanctum Weaver and Sithis. Merfolk got some stuff. Void Mirror, like...
What if we told you...
Shardless Agent, Asmirano, Marticles... Blah, 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 blah.
What if we told you that everything we just freaking Fractured mentioned City. Doesn't freaking matter? You know why? Because all of those are fair Magic cards. These goddamn elementals, as you said... are the most egregious goddamn Magic cards I have ever set my damn eyes on.
They're up there.
They are so goddamn... Well, legal Magic cards, I should say. I still remember Oko.
I still remember Oko. Let's temper their...
No, yeah. Okay, legal Magic cards. These elementals are so busted. It does not lead to positive play patterns. It does not lead to more interactive games. Hold on right now. I know that the whole point of these cards are to be interactive. But where are they being played? Ask yourself this. Where is Fury being played? Where is Endurance being played? Where the hell is Solitude being played? Now compare that to where Urza's being played, Urza Saga. Compare that to where Ragavan's being played. Compare that to where friggin' Murktide Regent is being played. Are you happier playing against Endurance, Solitude, Fury? Or Ragavan, Dragon's Rage Chandler, Murktide Regent? That's what I gotta say.
Yep, pretty much.
We can't even get to the fact that Archon of Cruelty is one of the coolest reanimation targets. Yavimaya, Cradle of Growth is another, you know, effect like Yawgmoth. And we get, again, like so many cool cards that you mentioned. You mentioned Grist, Cauldra Complete, right? Unmarked Grave, like Enchantress being a thing. None of this matters. This was probably the worst set I've ever set my like this is the worst set.
It's simultaneously the best and the worst set for me. Like, I think there's so much good stuff in here. It's just overshadowed by, like, how they did the evoke. Now, I think if there was a different way that they did the evoke cost...
Would you need it to cost... Like, would you do it like the old evoke template where it costs mana?
Yeah. So if endurance...
Yeah, work with me. Give me a mana cost on the evokes.
So if endurance was literally like one in a green.
Okay.
Or, you know, was like one in a green. Solitude was like one in a white or white, or one white, something like that. Right. Grief can be like, I don't know, a black mana or one in a black.
Yep.
Subtlety can stay as it is. It's still not playable. Fury
all Merfolk like, players are like
Fury is like one in a red, like if these were like 1-3 mana depending on the effect, like I think like would be fine and would still be playable. But they wouldn't see nearly as much, but it's just like exiling a X color card from your hand is just like, you know.
Look, can I be honest here? Yeah. Isn't this format just Modern Horizons? A lot of it is.
A lot of it is, absolutely.
I'm talking about even Modern Horizons 1.
Yeah.
Like, Yawgmoth is a deck. That's Renin, Modern Horizons.
Renin 6 is a bunch of stuff. Urza doesn't see as much play as it used to.
Yeah, I mean, that's because they had to ban it. They had to ban the damn deck.
Force of Negation is seen a lot less now because the format's very creature-focused.
Force, Archmage's Charm is like literally replaced Cryptic Command. Replaced Cryptic Command.
Yeah, but like I don't even. But like I think that card is more than fine.
No. But I'm talking about like it's right, just Modern Horizons. Yeah. Right. I'm not even saying it's broken. I'm saying that the format is just Modern Horizons.
Yeah.
I guess
so. I don't know. A lot of people are gonna have different opinions. This is a very polarizing set. And like I have a very love-hate relationship with this set.
Yeah. Like I definitely agree with what you're saying. It's very polarizing, and the majority of the set is actually very lovable. It is the type of thing that I want in Modern. I want change. Right? I do not want Bogles to be a friggin' tier 1 deck for 6 years. I do not want Tron to be a tier 1 deck. It can come in and out, but I do not want it to be a tier 1 deck for 6+ years. It's still playable, whatever. Amulet is... Okay, whatever. That deck got nerfed. I'll give it a pass.
It wins. Waxes and wanes.
I'll give it a pass. It's actually a pretty cool deck. Really, like I don't know. This isn't really something I guess like a lot more casual players, or I guess people that maybe play Magic once a week, once every 2 weeks, just at the LGS, you get 3 games and that's you. You may not see the longevity or like the bigger picture of it, but like, have you felt better about Modern when you play against Solitude? Like, be honest with yourself.
Well, Solitude was even slept on. When the set came out for the first few months,
everyone
was like super high on like Grief Ephemerate, and like thought Subtlety was gonna be the hotness. Everyone knew like Endurance was gonna be a thing, but like people slept on Fury and Solitude, and like they're much better than Grief and Subtlety.
Like, you can, like, this is my problem, like, you hate to, like, I'm talking as a general audience. People hate Teferi Time Raveler. What did
I do too.
Like, Teferi Time Raveler. What, like, yo, you can just tap out with Teferi Time Raveler thanks to Solitude. And your Teferi will untap. You will untap with your Teferi. Like, what? People are playing companions to pitch to these cards. No one casts Kahira. No one casts Yorion. I'm sorry. If you cast Yorion, you're probably just winning. Let me be honest. If you're casting Yorion, you're probably winning. You're not actually doing it
or you're in a really bad spot and you need a blocker.
Sure, right? Like, it's not actually to advance your board state, really. Right? You're playing it to pitch to elementals. Yeah. What? Like, that actually baffles me. Like, the companions were like the companion mechanic is the single craziest thing to happen to modern besides like static planeswalkers in the last 3 years, right?
Yeah,
that's my take.
I have my own opinions.
And that's my take. That's the single craziest thing to happen to modern besides static planeswalkers, and people are using them to just pitch to these things. Like, isn't that crazy? Yep. Like, I don't know. That's me. Like, my mind just shatters when I hear that. Like, this format is absolutely crazy. Not to mention, like, the other day, a random Magic Aids video got, like, recommended to me, right? Like, and it was, like, he was...
My apologies.
And it was, he was playing, like, a $3,500, like, control deck. Sure. Like, that's not a joke. $3,500, and like there was actually wasn't anything wrong with the deck. The deck was actually competitive. Like he wasn't memeing. Like it's just four Wrens, four Teferis, four Solitudes, like all this stuff. Like I don't know. I just can't keep ranting. You talk. Sorry. I literally don't even know. Where I'm going.
I think we've covered it.
Like it's crazy. It's crazy to me. Like I don't.
Now. Here's the question, Chef. I'm gonna ask you first.
Okay.
All right. Modern Horizons 2, what's your rating?
Fuck. Okay. I gotta remember to put like an explicit rating when I put this up on Anchor.
Yeah. We are. Wait, what's Anchor?
It's the RSS feed that I throw it up on. On that note, I actually need to switch it because I've heard like RSS feeds like Podcast Bean, like they go up on Apple Music. And I've been trying to find, like, complete offside, I've been trying to find a way to get more views on this podcast. And I think putting it on Apple Music is a big one. So I think I might change the, like...
Plus your YouTube.
Plus YouTube as well.
Can we get the old episodes onto the YouTube?
I think I'll bulk upload them at some point, yeah.
Sure.
I'll bulk upload them. Me asking
to put our content onto your channel for you to monetize, you're welcome.
No, hey, the monetizing for both of us. Because the great thing about it is I can go to the individual video and see how much it's made.
Yes. I'm gonna love in 2 months, like, oh, here's your monetization, fucking 30 cents USD.
Skirt, skirt! Yo.
Yeah, which is like $20 Canadian.
But, okay, rating for Modern Horizons. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, when it initially came out, I wanted to give it, like, an 8-9. I actually really, and that's my heavy bias towards, like, churning a format and the fact that they were willing to reprint fetchlands. Like, it actually made certain fetchlands affordable. Seeing Scalding Tarn at the prices that it was, like, actually made me happy. That was a real positive. And then made the
ally fetches super expensive.
Yeah, me trying to buy Flooded Strands for Esper Mill and having to resort to Misties. Like, yeah.
Keck. Yeah,
that was a thing. Keck. But so that was a real positive for me. And again, I really love some of the churns. Some of the cards in this set are so cool. Like, I just can't get over the fact that cards like Archon of Cruelty are actually, like, good playable cards. Like, that's really cool to me.
Give us a number, Chef.
Okay, so that was an 8-9 then. Okay. Couple months ago, it was like a 7-8, right? Like last month. And then the minute people started playing Yorion decks, it sunk to a 3. Like my enjoyment of this format has absolutely pitched because of the viability of Forian. Fury and Solitude. I don't care about Endurance. I'm fine with Endurance. I think Endurance is a cool magic card. Just because of the way they've matched the stat line with the ability. I think it's cool.
But I agree with you.
Sure, it can be balanced better. Sure. But, like, I don't like these elementals. I'm sorry. It's a 3. Yeah. It's a 3. I hate this set so much.
So, yeah, I very much love hate a lot of what's going on. I'm going to say overall, I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Yeah.
And I would give it a 7 if they had printed the last 4 goddamn canopy lands. I have such an issue
yeah,
when Wizards yeah. prints part of a cycle.
So
it's like print one, like Horizon Canopy by itself, I was okay with. It's because it's like a unique thing. I'm not mad that like Grove of the Burn Willows or River of Tears exists and there isn't more. I'm not mad about that. But like when you have Horizon Canopy and then in Modern Horizons 1, print all of the enemy ones.
Yeah.
So now that you have 6 of a land cycle, mm-hmm. and it's been years and we haven't gotten the other 4, like, even besides the fact that, you know, a bunch of the allied ones are in color pairs that I play. Like, it's just like, it just bothers, and something inside of me is just so bothered by it.
I hate it because like, I didn't think about that, and I'm extremely bothered by it now, too.
You're welcome.
I'm extremely bothered by it too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when someone reminds you that you breathe and then you just start manually breathing. You know what I mean? Like you're just like so annoyed about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like with triomes, we have 5 triomes. We're prospecting that they're gonna be the other 5 are gonna get printed in New Capenna.
Yep. Yep. That's the big kind of rumor. Yeah.
But especially with mana, it doesn't bother me as much with spells, but it does to some extent. But like, especially with mana, like give one, give none, or give everyone. Is kind of how I feel about it.
Yo, okay. They gave Foundation Breaker in this set an evoke cost of 2. Mm-hmm. Like in Solitude could have been 1 mana. Like you could have added a mana cost to it.
This is total, yeah. But like I want the other 4 canopy lands. Like I want the other triomes because like if you're gonna print like good mana stuff, like let all of the decks have access to it, and then just like put them where you may, you know, where you may.
Yo, shout out to the artifact lands for breaking Pauper Affinity, but go on.
All right, so yeah,
My mill rating. I actually will.
We haven't talked about Fractured Sanity.
Like, yeah, no. So actually, that's why I wanted. You know what? Okay, give me your modern rating first before we talk about it. Give
all right,
your
modern rating. No, that was my modern. I did 6.5.
Okay. My mill rating. So this is my bias speaking. I don't know if I can actually speak on bias to this card. I actually really like Fractured Sanity. So Fractured Sanity is probably my favorite mill card of the year. That's going to be my spoiler.
But what did you give AFR because of Tasha's?
I think I gave it an 8 or a 9.
Okay. So you're going to give this a 9 or a 10?
No, so I hate this set. It's a 3, but...
No, I mean for Mill.
For Mill, I will give it a 6 because... So I can't give it a 9, right? Like, I can't give this a 9-10 because this set is actually just, like, stupid as hell. But this is... I'm going to give it a 6 because that's me raising it from a 3. Because I actually think Fractured, again, this is me speaking from a biased perspective, right? Like, this is me being biased. I actually, like, yo, Fractured Sanity is exactly the direction that Mill needed to go. It's exactly the direction. Like, optionality. That's
it. I agree.
I just want options. Just options. Give me options.
All right, here's... Okay, so I'm going to go in a bit of a different direction. I agree with that, like, Fractured Sanity is, like, the type of mill cards that we want. And, like, you know, some mill decks are playing Counterspell, a lot of them playing Prismatic Ending. Like, we got upgrades to, like, some removal and whatever.
Right.
I actually think for mill, this set is, like, a 3 or a 4.
So you're talking about, like, so you're accounting for the fact of the effect that it's had against mill, I assume.
Correct.
Okay, sure. Okay, I'm not taking it from that lens, but you're right. Okay. Because like everything in this set fights Mill like hard.
Not everything. Like I think like we're pretty good against Reanimator. I think we're good against a bunch of the other decks.
Like, I guess, like, okay, so you're right. I guess I'm viewing this set. I'm trying to approach this set in, like, a pie chart where, like, the big players take up the majority of the chart, and that's what you see. Sorry, I guess that's, like, how I'm viewing this right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're incorrect. I'm just saying this is how I view it.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know. I can't talk about these elementals anymore. Right. I agree.
Right.
So with all of that in mind, what is your general feeling about... So all that discussion, I know in the beginning you couldn't give Modern a rating. Do you think you can give one now? After all this discussion? 2021 Modern, do you think you can do it? Or still undecided?
Like, I thought the beginning of the year, like, pre-MH2, like, I thought, you know, I liked Modern a lot more, but I am somebody that... And I can acknowledge my biases. I like formats that are a bit more tighter knit, you know, 3 or 4 tier one, like absolute tier one decks, S tier decks. Then you have like 3 to 5 decks that are just below that are very competitive, but they're just like missing something. And then you can have some other decks below that, but like you kind of, you have a general sense of where the metagame is in terms of like, okay, I'm going to an event with 100 players, you know, just kind of based on general trends and knowledge, like, I'm going to see decks A, B, C, D, E. It's going to be, like, the majority of my matchups.
Okay.
Whereas, like, after MH2, because of how often the meta churns with, like, countering different things and how many different decks developed from the set, like, it is so hard, in my opinion, to prepare for events. That, like, it doesn't even matter. You're just, like, incentivized to just, like, play Hammer or a Yorian pile or, you know, very few, like, other decks. And then just, like, even though there's a wide variety of things, it just doesn't feel like it matters.
Yep.
And it makes preparation a lot harder.
Yep.
So, like, pre-MH2, I really enjoyed Modern. When MH2 first came out, I actually also, like, enjoyed Modern because of how new things were and, like, it felt, like, very fresh. But, like, the past, I'd say, three, four months, nah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like, playing this set sometimes, like, it feels like you sit down and... you just get hit with, like, it just feels like playing against Mana Tithe at the worst time. Like, that's how I feel playing against this set. Like, I feel like someone resolves a spell, and I'm like, I don't know. I just want to shuffle up and leave. Like, I don't know. Sometimes. It's just like, yo, like, where did you come up with this? Why is this a card? How did you confuddle these interactions together to make this work? Like, I don't know. Like, it's so wild sometimes. It's actually so out of left field. Yeah. So, I guess that concludes... I guess, before we do that, I should say I'm going to give Modern in general, regardless of how bad I feel about Modern Horizons 2, I'm going to give Modern in general a 7. That's where I'm going to put it. It could be a 9 if it wasn't for Modern Horizons 2, but I like the fact that the latter two sets didn't have a... Actually, honestly, like, most of the sets didn't have a big impact on Modern. It's very, very key cards that did... Yeah. And Modern and this year could have been a 9-10, maybe not a 10, but like an 8-9 if it wasn't for Modern Horizons 2. So I'm still playing Modern. I still love the format, but
we're God down. We have Stockholm syndrome at this point. Like everything's great, guys.
Rose-colored glasses. So that ends our kind of primary discussion in the podcast. And kind of going forward in the next podcast, it'll probably be a couple weeks before we record the next one, but the next one's going to be kind of our hopes for Modern. I think that's what we want to do, and it's going to come out sometime in the new year, hopefully, or early in the new year, you know, schedule depending. But yeah, that's going to be the next episode. Is there anything you wanted to say as we end off this discussion, Blitz? Like anything about Modern or anything? Or
No, I think... A, if you're listening to this in the next, you know, on release, maybe a day or two after, if you have any, like, really fun Modern decks, shoot them my way.
Yeah, you've been in a brewing mood. You've been in a
brewing mood the past few weeks. I want some fun stuff to play. It doesn't have to be Mill, by the way.
Yeah.
It can be other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking for like fun but seems reasonably powerful, kind of like the red black like Asmo vampire deck.
Yeah.
That I was talking about. Something in that vein. Otherwise, shout out to all of the listeners that have been here like since the beginning or you're new. We appreciate you.
Yeah, it's been a fun year, and hopefully here's some more episodes. It's been great. I'm happy we did this. I think it's a fun place for us to just like shout out garbage. Say garbage.
We shout out more garbage before and after the recordings,
but yeah.
This is the ones we're okay with releasing to the public.
I mean, that's the fun stuff, because you can't just go on the Discord and just shout garbage, because everyone's like, because then the next person comes in like, hey, so this is my first time playing Mill. Can I get like a primer, a sideboard guide, you know, the top five creators, like everything without doing any work? Yeah. Anyway, that's my mini rant as well about the Discord,
roasting your entire audience. Jesus Christ.
I mean, hey, folks, we can put in some effort sometimes, you know.
Happy holidays to anyone listening.
Is there anything you wanted to kind of end off on, like things you're looking forward to as the holidays come on? As you just mentioned, the happy holidays.
Just having kind of some time off, chilling. You know, my schedule's going to lighten up. You know, I won't have as like much schoolwork or anything.
Right.
So just kind of, you know, chilling, see where things take me in life.
Right.
Not like too much specifically that I'm like looking forward to. Anything with you up in Maple Land?
I'm gonna list off a bunch of things real quick. First and foremost, Toronto hitting us hard with the Omicron stuff, so things probably kind of taking back a little bit. I'm going to hopefully see Spider-Man tomorrow. I'm excited for that movie before these restrictions come into place and Omicron and the Decepticons take over. Hoping for that. I wanted to sign up for a Face-to-Face Games 1K at the beginning of the year, but considering these restrictions are just going to hit Toronto, like they haven't been announced, but I think there's going to be like a bigger announcement tomorrow, Friday. I don't think that's going to happen, honestly. Yeah. So that's kind of sucks. I've just not signed up.
We got hit with new restrictions in New York State. Like everyone has to wear masks indoors again. Not saying that's like a bad thing. Just something that happened Monday. It was announced like the previous week, but it went into effect on Monday. I have a paper 1K at Knights of Thorn Games in Watertown, New York. My LGS that sponsors me. Shout out to them. if you are in the upstate to central New York area, come play some Modern.
Yeah.
Great store, great people. I will hopefully be there, weather and plans depending.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, you know, things are kind of iffy. I'm glad that after this event, like, because of the holidays, there's definitely going to be, like, a little bit of lull in events for, like, 4-6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. Like, things have been... Yeah. So, I mean, in my small little Ontario world, things have definitely been picking up in terms of the cases, like flu season, all that stuff. So I think a little bit of a break considering some of the kerfuffle with... Vegas and all that stuff. I think Magic players, we can sit down a little bit.
Yeah,
we can hold on. Yeah. Last couple of shout outs. I've been playing Halo Infinite. That's been fun. I'm super excited for Elden Ring. I've had that pre-ordered for so goddamn long. I am really upset that It Takes Two won Game of the Year, because that means absolutely nothing good was released this year. This is no down to It Takes Two. It's a fantastic game, but the fact that's Game of the Year is sad to me.
To be fair, last year The Last of Us 2 won, and we don't talk about that storyline.
I mean, everything got delayed this year. Everything got delayed this year.
So I don't know if Game of the Year really is like that much prestige. Like,
Yeah, I mean, it's some level of recognition, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, I think, cool. So I just, you know, on a quick side note, just to not drag this on for more longer than it needs to, I actually think there's a really interesting discussion to be had about the death of death of AAA games. Like the death of like the big hits, like Far Cry, the Resident Evil series, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Halo.
Wait. The death of them? What are you talking about?
So I like in the sense that I think indie developers and mid-range developers are actually taking over and producing much higher quality products.
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not a Resident Evil expert, but I thought Village was like very good.
Okay, so I like in the sense that the game was.
I watched a lot of walkthroughs.
Yeah.
That I thought it was like really interesting, like story wise.
I think the direction they're taking the new series is very fantastic. I think it's a very smart direction to take it.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't harp on that. I guess I'm just lumping it into the total category the fact that we are seeing success of indie developers, mid-range studios, and again, studios producing extremely high-quality games and not having to pay an arm and a leg for them is fantastic.
Sure. I absolutely agree with that, even though I don't play a ton of video games. Yeah.
I mean, it's just nice to like have them. But I think that's where I end my shoutouts.
All right. Anyways, we'll wrap her up.
All right, everyone. Thank you for hitting us up. If you wanted to talk anything gaming-wise with me, shout out to the Wheel of Time and The Expanse, because I have a million things to talk about all the time. Hit me up at my social links down below. If you wanted to send those lists to Blitz, then where can they find...
You can find me at BlitzMTG on Twitter. Yeah. I am on Discord. You can find me in the Mill Discord. You know, you can shoot me a DM or an at there. Or tweet at me.
Yo, if you go on.
If anyone sends me a Boggles list, you are immediately getting blocked. By the way.
Yeah, don't do
if it
that.
If it has the slippery mogul or an infect creature or thought no, I won't say that. But like, yeah, if it has slippery bogle or something with infect in it, immediate block.
Yeah, I don't care that Reduke went to worlds with bogles. Like, don't no.
No, I just personally don't like them. Anyways.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out.
Yes.
As we mentioned, happy holidays to those observing and not. Mm-hmm. If it's just another day or an amazing day, hopefully you're safe. Hopefully you're warm. Or if not warm, hopefully you're cozy. Hopefully you're comfortable regardless of the temperature. Stay safe, everyone. We'll catch you on the flip side of the year. And oh, my God, we won't see you until next year.
Oh my god.
Have a good year, everyone. Rest of year. See you in 2022.